You know, we've been talking a lot about the NBA draft the last couple days, and you know, Boris Averd said we don't know as much as we should about it. So we called somebody who does.
Sam Smith of Bulls.com, longtime NBA scribe. He's multiple award winning. I believe he has a Tony Award for
one of those wrestling awards.
A Broadway performance. Yes, he has one of the homoerotic wrestling awards also, maybe more. But Sam Smith knows more about the draft than we do, and that's why he's on WSCR. Hi, Sam.
How you doing today?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
Couldn't be better. Thanks.
So,
see you tomorrow.
We had a caller just ask this question that neither one of us could answer, and that is, with the labor unrest looming, will players be drafted and then just sort of hang out there unsigned as the business of basketball grinds to a halt? What's the plan for these guys after they become team property?
Well, it's probably some jobs in maintenance they can do. Yeah, no, they'll be in a limbo because they can't sign. So you know, they're probably going to have some sort of stoppage there. But and once they do, you know, there's no summer camps and there's no, you can't work out in the team facilities, and they'll be pretty much on their own. And you hope whenever you settle, they'll still be around.
Now, we just heard Gar Foreman, Sam, saying that he expects the Bulls will make those two picks tonight. Do you expect the Bulls will make those two picks tonight?
I think if they do make those two picks, that means they've struck out in all the other things they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's this three-team deal that sounds like it's pretty close to being made with Milwaukee and Sacramento and Charlotte. And that puts some picks potentially in play. They've been trying to move up a little bit with those two picks. And it's been hard to do because it's not a, even though they'll say, well, you know, from 15 to 40, you can get the same player. And that would be interesting if you could play in that many places, but you really can't, you know, and there is a break there somewhere around 20 where talent drops off quite a bit or somewhat. And so it's hard to get someone to take those picks at 28 and 30. They're really not only being the lowest picks in the first round, they're the last two guarantees. And the 31 is more valuable than 30 because it's not a guarantee. So they're hard picks to move. My guess is they'll probably end up using two of them and one of them on a European player.
When you say it would mean they probably struck out on something they're trying to do, what do you think their first priority is? Like, if the Bulls feel that they win the night, what will they have accomplished?
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to get a player. They'd like to get a player, you know, a two guard. And I'm not saying exactly that guy, but, you know, Courtney Lee, O.J. Mayo, one of these kind of guys, combine the picks with a player and get one of these guys. That would be their home run. You know, if they could come out of this and say, okay, we're ready for next season, we have our two guard. And they got a couple of those guys floating around. I don't think they'll be able to do one of those. I think they'll be able to do something at once we come out of the labor thing, whenever that will be. So I think at this point, if they could turn two of those picks into a higher pick, you know, and then maybe get a, you know, like a shooting guard. I don't know if he would be a starter, but say like a Marshawn Brooks from Providence. You might be able to get him if you move it up to 19, say, which that pick's kind of in play now with that trade Charlotte made. That's what they'd like to do, something like that. But it's been proven difficult to do, and so that's why I think Gar is saying, for safety purposes, probably end up back where he is.
Yeah, we mentioned that some of these other deals, talking about that three-way deal there, Sam, that really there's just a lot of bums flying around. There's really not – I don't know what some of these teams are trying to accomplish, but on draft day they do it anyway. I mean, at least I know what the Bulls are trying to do. Some of these other things, I'm not sure what they're doing.
Well, usually it's, as you know, Terry, a lot of these trades are my crap for your crap.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that I'm really sick of my guys, and you're sick of your guys, but I don't know him as well as my guys. I hate my guys.
It's like, I don't hate your guys yet.
Right. I will hate your guys.
Right.
Like, Milwaukee Milwaukee hates Corey Maggette, and they hate John Salmons now. So now they say, well, Steven Jackson, you know, he had a couple of shots against us, and so they take a shot at that. And you know, Sacramento hates Dino Udrew because they paid him like $8 million. And they say, what were we thinking? So, you know, it's one of those kind of trades where all of these three teams have made previously bad decisions. Like Charlotte, Steven Jackson is the best player in that deal, but Charlotte is worn out with him. He's, after a year, year and a half, he's at best about as long as he lasts because he's a hot-tempered guy and hard to control, and your honeymoon runs out after about a year with him. And so they've had enough. You know, it sort of becomes your life is too short to continue on with Steven Jackson on your team. So but he'll be good if you go into Milwaukee for a year and have cleaned some bad contracts out. But that's what that deal is all about, it looks like.
Now, what is the context of the Dwight Howard situation here regarding the Bulls? Because some of these, there's some Joakim Noah rumors that really wouldn't net the Bulls much of anything other than apparent financial flexibility with that contract off the books. What is Howard's situation, and what is the Bulls' situation vis-a-vis Howard?
I personally think it's nowhere, because I think what's being missed is whatever Howard might say. Say Howard says, well, I want to leave. Well, that's fine. It was one thing a couple of years ago when LeBron James and Bosch and now to lesser, you know, afterwards Carmelo were doing this, because teams that cut back, you know, the big teams, Chicago, New York, places you wanted to go, cut back and had room to take on these guys. Now it's, you know, Minneapolis and Sacramento and places like that. So Dwight Howard's not going to those places. I mean, he could say all he wants. He wants to leave, but he doesn't have any free agency place to go. So I think Orlando is just simply going to say, you know, to him, fine. You know, where, if you want to go, you can go, but it's to Minnesota. You know, so he's not going anywhere. There's nothing going on, and then the Bulls have no chance to get him. There is some sentiment in among some in the organization, not everybody, that we should offer them, meaning they're saying we should offer them everybody but Derrick Rose. But I think it's irrelevant, because Orlando is under no pressure to trade him, and they have all the leverage. And I don't think he's going anywhere. And if they were going to trade him, if they were, which I don't believe they were, they would never trade him in the Eastern Conference, where he could knock him out in the playoffs in the first round. I mean, the Lakers would put up Pau Gasol or Andrew Bynum in a second for Howard, and that would trump it, most anything the Bulls could offer. So I would say that's a complete non-starter.
Okay, because we've heard a lot of talk and a lot of rumors and a lot of stuff. But, and, you know, fans want something to push this team past the heat, Sam. So really, at any point in time, the whole Dwight Howard thing, should Bulls fans logically just forget about it?
Yes, I think it's pure fantasy. And look, it doesn't take that much to get by Miami. I mean, I know 4-1 looks like, you know, an odd series, but they certainly showed in the finals they're not an invincible team. You know, you still look at that Dallas team and say, how the heck did they score?
Right.
You know, Deshaun Stevenson and Sean Marion had a worse offensive starting lineup in the league. And even though, you know, Miami hit all those shots in that clinching game, I mean, they had given up that game. I mean, those shots were, hey, we're going back to Miami, we think he could win it in six, and then all of a sudden they went in. So I think if the Bulls had one more player, you know, the missing shooting guard, somebody else who could create, just somebody else to throw the ball to when everybody loads up on Rose, that's all I think they need. And you know, now they're on a level field to compete with a team like that. So I don't think you say, oh, well, you've got to have Dwight Howard, or you've got to have this or that. Let's also remember, you know, the history of free agency in Chicago is nobody has ever come, you know, except guys who nobody else wanted, Ben Wallace, for instance. So,
yeah.
You know, Well, LeBron James was going to come. You know, how many times did we hear on ESPN, oh, yeah, Chicago, they're the front runner, this and that. And Bosch was going to come, and Carmelo wanted to be here. And what do you know? None of them wanted
right.
to be here.
It's funny
so
that you bring
Dwight
up.
Howard doesn't either.
You bring up Ben Wallace because we were talking about that Joakim Noah money and looking at who in the NBA has received a $60 million contract who couldn't score. And it turns out the only two guys we could find were both Chicago Bulls in Ben Wallace and in Joakim Noah, where you've got John Paxson and Gar Foreman who have, and Paxson in the Wallace case, it was just him who decided to do this, to lavish these guys with money who simply cannot score. And eventually it that hurt them in the playoffs, having a guy who the Heat just didn't need to guard and didn't guard.
Yeah, you could add Tyson Chandler to that list, I guess, too. You paid him $60 million also. But you're right. I mean, and that's a flaw. You know, that is an issue. Now, he regressed this past season. He didn't miss half the season, and so you sort of got to give him one more shot. You know, he was coming on a little offensively. The year before, he was averaging, 12 and 12 or something like that. If you can get 12 points out of him, that's enough. You know, that's Tyson Chandler, that's what he did. You know, all of a sudden he was his savior. Still couldn't score, but Dallas won the title. So, you know, he's okay. He was making that crazy little shot of his, which he stopped taking when he came back from the thumb surgery. I think you could tell he was afraid of getting that thumb hit. He really wasn't doing as much. He wasn't finishing as awkwardly as he finishes sometimes. So I say give him a pass and say, let's see if he can come back and with more of a game. But you're right. It clearly did hurt him, and he wasn't a threat, and they didn't always play him in the best position where they had him as a release on that trap, and he's not a guy who they're going to guard. But I still think if you do can get one other guy, which, you know, say a Mayo, O.J. Mayo, who can just spread the floor from the weak side, and you can get the ball and swing the ball to somebody else who has to be guarded. You know, I think that would be, would cover, would it be enough even with a guy like Noah?
All right, Sam, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Have fun tonight, and all Bulls fans' dreams are shattered. They're all done.
Sorry to do that, but anytime you want to need that done, I'll be there for you.
Usually we handle that, but Sam, thanks. That's
thanks,
Sam,
million, Sam
Smith of Bulls.com joining us on the Home Run In Pizza guest hotline. Try Home Run In on the grill. We're just about ready for
who you crapping
in moments on the score.